You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Tyrrell Hatton makes it back-to-back wins on the European Tour at the Italian Open.
I knew what I needed to do and to give myself a chance and to hold the putt. Obviously, I was pretty nervous over the putt, hands and knees shaking, but that's the kind of feelings you want to have because you want to be in those positions, and I'm just so happy that I managed to put it off.
More from the triumphant Tyrrell coming up. We looked like we were heading for a three-way playoff until that brilliant birdie at the last gave Hatton the win, with Kiradesh Afibanrat tied for second alongside England's Ross Fisher.
Made some good birdies early on and then gave myself plenty of chances coming home and just unfortunately just didn't manage to hole any. So it's obviously great to play 2 weeks back-to-back and be in contention and be playing some of the best golf of my life.
We'll be joined by Ross Fisher, who must be sick of the sight of Tyrrell Hatton, later in the show. It was a great week of golf, culminating in a stunning final day. And we'll have a review of all the action to come. Plus, we look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by Sergio Garcia. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined today by former European Tour champion multi-winner Paul Eales, and now plying his trade on the Senior Tour and nicking money off all those old codgers. Paul, how are you?
I'm in great shape, Rob. Thanks for having me along and thoroughly enjoyed the Italian Open. I thought it was an absolutely sensational week.
Do you know what? I can't remember all the years I played golf and I've been to tournaments since. I can't remember 4 days of weather. We're not in October now like we had in Milan. It was absolutely incredible. A hint of mist in the morning and sort of 15 degrees, and then it warmed up to 23, 24, no breeze whatsoever. It was amazing.
Yeah, I must admit, I was watching on the TV and looking at you guys and a little bit of jealousy, really, and the course looked great considering it was a late addition to the schedule, wasn't it? And I think everybody rallied round, and of course the players showed us how well you can play when you get a golf course that's presented as well as that.
Isn't it funny? Everybody loves going back to old-fashioned golf courses.
Yeah. I mean, even the week before when we had sort of the really old courses up in Scotland, and you go back to a different one, very narrow, tree-lined, and it just gives the players a little bit more, I don't know, definition to maybe find these flags out.
Yeah, it was a fantastic tournament. And another brilliant win for Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, there's no stopping him. He looks like he'll stop himself on the golf course, but it doesn't, you can't detract from his standard of play. Sometimes he looks like, oh, he's lost the plot here, he's gone. And then he'll rattle off five or six birdies back in it.
Well, he did, didn't he? I mean, he had a really slow start. Everybody was making birdies. Ross and Kiradech, they were firing birdies in left, right and centre. And all Tyrrell could do was sort of make pars, wasn't he? But then he had that run early on in the back nine. And once he got the sense of that he could win, you always felt that he was going to hold that putt on 18.
Played the last seven holes in five under par, which included a birdie at the last hole, which had a pretty tight flag. You would have thought, waiting for Ross Fisher and for Kiradesh Afibanrat, they would have thought in their heart of hearts they're probably going to play off.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, because it looked on TV, the guys were finding the flags out, but it's not an easy hole, is it, to make a birdie on?
No, it's not.
It really isn't, and just fantastic. 3 wood off the tee, into the fairway, found the green with the iron, and what was it, about 6-7 paces, he rolled straight into the middle
of
the cup?
Yeah, right into the middle. An incredible putt, an incredible win, and a guy that obviously just plays for finishing first. There's not a hint of backup in him.
No, there isn't. He had a really good start to the season, didn't he? And then sort of lost his way. I think he missed the cut in the Irish, the French, Scotland, the Open, the PGA Championship. And you thought, oh, hang on a minute, what's happening here after that wonderful season in 16? And then, of course, September comes along, and what a run of events he's had. It really is incredibly special.
The notion that Ross Fisher is sick of Tyrrell Hatton's, there must be a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, what more can Ross do? I mean, shoot 61 in the final round the old course, finishes second, and 63 yesterday, second again.
And Kiradesh Afibanrat had an ugly double bogey with three to go, and that cost him.
Yeah, and he was fine. He was hitting some great shots, very aggressive, been a very, very good player for a long time. And again, like you say, he's just interested in winning, isn't he? He's not looking at creating money along the way. He just wants to win titles, and he had a real go.
Knowing what we know about Hatton, with Ross waiting in the wings, with Kiradesh alongside him, did you feel like he was going to hold that part on 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Absolutely. And I know he had a great putt on 16 that can't believe didn't go in. That went over the edge of the hole. 17, there was quite a weight, obviously, for the ruling under the tower. for Matt Wallace. So,
which again, a ridiculous chip in.
It was sensational, wasn't it? But getting back to Tyrrell, you know, he hit a fantastic putt that was tracking all the way, finished inches short. So 16 he could have made it, 17 he could have made it, and third time lucky on 18, or not lucky, just unbelievable stuff.
And for Matt Wallace, who was having a frustrating day, to knock it over the back of 17 was not, and finish on hard pan was not the ideal spot. And he's really, it's a miracle up and down, and he chips it in. Going, it's going to go off the green.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the experience of a player that knows how to win, to give himself a chance. He couldn't play a flop shot off the lie that he had up and onto that green. He had to bump it into the bank, a little bit of fortune, but hit the middle of the flag going at pace, in the hole, bang, got a chance to get in a playoff at 20.
And the funny thing is, him coming down the last with Tyrrell Hatton, waiting on the putting green alongside the monitor that I was at in the studio, was Kiradesh and Ross. So they're both tied at 20 under par. And with those two playing the last, there were several things that could have happened. Those two alone could have played off if no one does anything.
Yeah.
If Matt Wallace birdies and ties them, they'd be a three-way. And if Hatton pars, it'll be a four-way playoff. Or if Hatton nails it and makes a birdie, they all lose out. He's the sole winner. And that's what happened.
Yeah. No, it was a fantastic tournament. It really was. But, I mean, Matt Wallace, he played some golf, tee to green, for 4 days. Mm. Putter, was it cold? I mean, you give him Marcus Fraser's putter for the week, and he laps the field, Matt Wallace, but he just couldn't seem to find the bottom of the cup, and for all he tried, but a good week for him, and
big check.
Yeah, big check, and consolidates his place in the race to Dubai.
Moves into the top 100.
There you go.
So that's and now of course you set your sights higher, don't you? You go to Valderrama, you start thinking about the big events at the end.
Yeah, and of course he had that win, was it last year he won, so he was never in danger of losing a card or anything like that, but, fantastic performance, and he didn't back off, did he?
No.
Absolutely didn't back off, which is great.
No, saw him in the airport last night. I mean, yes, he didn't have the day he wanted, but a lot of good stuff to take out of the week for Matt Wallace. Some social media reaction. Tyrrell Hatton said, what an incredible feeling, so happy to win again. Ross Fisher said, wow, what a day, congrats Tyrrell Hatton again. Thomas Bjorn, well, well, well. You just have to love this young man. He's turning into a hell of a player. Well done, Tyrrell Hatton. Matt Fitzpatrick, another solid week, which is nice, but just missing that little bit to get me into contention. Week off now to get sharp for the final stretch. So, I mean, you know, everybody either giving out positivity or finding positive notes for their own week.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the Rolex series there and the money that's there for the guys and how the tournaments are presented, you know, they're obviously feeling great about everything. But those are the lads that have performed. You know, it's a different story if you're in the airport on Friday night and the lads are going home and having a chat.
The Tented Village was beautifully presented in Milan. It really was. And the first time for me, well, two things. They had a little food court that was called Eataly, which is very clever. E-A-T and then Ali, like the end of Italy. Eataly.
Yeah.
Are you getting
good,
it? Yeah.
Like
I see
I'm
a blank
right
look on your face.
No,
but I see
I
you getting
glaze
it.
Over.
You
yeah.
like it? And there were two hairdressers. A ladies' hairdressers and a barber's.
And
in
you didn't stop by, did you?
I didn't stop by,
neither
no.
Neither did Rowe, I saw
but
that
the, Mark Rowe was being badgered by every caddy that came up to me and every player that came up to me. Get him to cut his hair. And of course, the more you say that, the less likely he is to do it. So
The mad professor.
Professor Pat Pending is consolidating his position. The hair will not be touched. For now, anyway, we shall see. OK, let's hear from the man who claimed back-to-back victories in the last 2 weeks on the European Tour, Tyrrell Hatton.
It's an incredible feeling. Seeing that putt drop on 18 was unbelievable. And yeah, I think my reaction showed that.
Phenomenal way to finish.
Yeah, it's obviously I knew what I needed to do and to give myself a chance and to hold the putt. Obviously, I was pretty nervous over the putt, hands and knees shaking, but that's the kind of feelings you want to have because you want to be in those positions, and I'm just so happy that I managed to pull it off.
How crucial, though, run of birdies on the back nine to set up that victory?
Yeah, they were so important. I knew I needed a low score today. Front nine, it was pretty slow and sort of didn't really get any momentum, and I was fighting myself, trying to stay patient, and, you know, JB, my caddy, was saying, you know, good things will come. Although I found it hard to believe, I tried to stay patient as good as I can, and in the end, I guess I got my reward.
Belated birthday present, indeed.
Yeah, happy 26th birthday present to me. So, no, it's amazing.
Well, Tyrrell obviously thrilled with not only the win and the Ryder Cup points and the small matter of the cash as well. I'm sure he's absolutely thrilled. A lot to think about in his week off. It was Tyrrell's third European Tour title in a little over a year. It was a great birthday present for himself, who turned 26 on Saturday, and he's now 17th in the world rankings, up from 22nd place last week. So heading in the right direction, trending towards the top, that is for sure. Well, spare a thought for our next guest, who must be sick of the sight of Tyrrell Hatton. Last week in St Andrews, 61 in the final round. This week, 63 in the Italian. And still, you finished up, Ross, behind the man who pipped you again for 2 weeks running.
Yeah, he's getting a little bit annoying, I have to say. But all you do is try your best. And 61, I thought, was pretty decent round the home of golf, one of the most iconic golf courses in the world, but came up a little shy. Thought I needed to go very, very low yesterday. Managed to do that and just unfortunately came up a little bit shy again. But hey, I'm not going to get too upset. Two runner-up finishes is definitely a step in the right direction.
Fantastic finishes, Ross, 2 second places. But if you were to critique your performances over the last 2 weeks, would you say that you've got to get closer with a round to go?
It's difficult to say. You know, you look at what people have been saying on Twitter and they say, oh, he needs to start faster, but I don't know, maybe Sundays are my days. So, yeah, possibly need to try and shoot a little bit lower early on, or maybe on the Sunday just to take a few more chances, because obviously even in that 61, I hold a tremendous amount of putts, but I still missed a couple. And even yesterday, shooting 63 was a great score, but I still missed, from memory, at least two putts inside sort of 8 to 10 feet, which, you know, you knock those two in, all of a sudden I'm sitting here talking to you as a champion.
Wasn't exactly a slow start last week in Italy, was it, Ross? You know, 68, 66, 67. So you're playing some nice golf. So what sort of triggered off that 63? And at what point did you think I could go really low here?
Well, I think it helped playing with Fraze as well, because obviously he had shot a really good, I believe, second day score. Shot 62, perhaps?
Yeah, that's right, 62.
And then you had a disappointing day on the Saturday, so I knew he was up for a low one, and probably one of the best putters on the European tour. So I think we both knew that we needed to shoot very, very low and just try and go out there and attack the golf course. And I believe we both started with back-to-back birdies, and then unfortunately he got one up on me on the third and I missed mine. But then for me to roll in mine on nine to get to, I think it was 6 under, and he hold his to get to 7, you know, you're all of a sudden kind of thinking, well, last week I set myself the goal of 62 and I bettered that by 1. So I kind of, in the back of my mind before starting, I thought, well, maybe if I set my sights on 60, maybe the magic 5-9 will happen.
Does who you pull in the final round as a playing partner, as a fellow competitor, can that affect how you think you're going to play?
I think it massively can affect you, yeah. I mean, if you get a guy obviously like Fraze, who struggled most of this season, battling to keep his card, you know, he needs to go out there and shoot a good score. And fortunately, he managed to do that. He played some real solid golf, hold some putts, and I think that kind of spurred me on. Whereas if you've got a guy maybe in the same sort of situation, or someone that's trying to go out and win the tournament like I was, and maybe they don't get off to the best of starts, they're not holding putts, it's hard not to look at your playing partner, and it kind of can feed positive and also reverse. It can feed a negative energy onto you. So thankfully, Fraze was playing well. He was holding putts, making birdies, and I think we kind of fed off of each other, really.
Ross, you're currently fourth in the Race to Dubai standings. Tommy Fleetwood a little bit ahead of you. You know, have you got your eyes on that number one spot coming up over the next few weeks?
Not really. I mean, I'm just enjoying time at the moment. You know, having a course record at the most iconic golf course in the world and finishing second there. Obviously, the previous year, finishing joint second to go slightly better this year. Then, obviously, a joint runner-up finish yesterday. Just looking forward to, you know, recharging the batteries this week. And then, as you know, there's a big run coming up with the HSBC in China, which is a golf course that I really look forward to going back to. And then going to take the week off after that and prepare myself for Sun City at the Ned Bank, which is another golf course that I really look forward to going back to. Had good memories there. And then finishing off with a race in Dubai. So there's a lot of golf to be played. And obviously, like you say, Tommy is a long way ahead and he's still playing some fantastic golf. So he's going to be very, very hard to catch.
Thing is, with the massive prize purses in the events you're playing, if you knock one off, it's going to be a million plus in your favour. Then it looks completely different and you're going to venues that you like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you know, we're playing for some big prize funds, you know, massive world ranking points. So there's still a lot to play for.
Ross, you've already had a taste of Ryder Cup at Celtic Manor. Mm-hmm. It's getting closer week by week now, less than a year to go. Are you excited about the prospect of being part of Captain Tommy's Ryder Cup team?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be on any Ryder Cup team, and obviously especially Thomas, he's been around on the tour for many, many years. He's very well respected amongst the players. I think he'll be a great captain. He'll certainly be one of those guys that doesn't leave any stone unturned. He'll be wanting to go out there and give it to the Americans. And, you know, like you say, having tasted success on the Monty's team in 2010, it was one of those things that when you play a Ryder Cup, you don't want to miss any. And I've missed a few, which is disappointing, but my golf's just not been good enough. And as you guys well know, there's so many good players in Europe nowadays. So if you want to make a Ryder Cup team, you're going to have to play really, really well on that Ryder Cup calendar year. So I've got off to a great start, but don't want to rest there. I want to keep the foot down and try and keep racking up those ranking points and try and guarantee a place on Thomas's team.
Well, if you do make the next team, they might have to find your new partner because you have Patrick Harrington reading your putts in Wales, and someone else is going to have to help you out, the French at Le Golf National.
I'm sure we'll have one or two players that might mind giving me a hand, but since then I feel like I've come on leaps and bounds since then. You know, the change of putter this year, going to a completely different putter that I would never have saw myself using. I feel like I'm seeing the greens, seeing the reeds, and most importantly, hitting the putts in the correct line. But as you say, there's going to be a hell of a lot of good putters on that team. You know, I suspect Tyrrell will be very, very close. Someone like Matt Fitzpatrick would be very, very close. Bernd Wiesberger, who I've had success with in the Eurasia Cup, maybe we'll team up again in the new year at the Eurasia Cup, perhaps. But it's definitely a couple of weeks is a step in the right direction.
Do you think Tyrrell could be our answer to Patrick Reed?
Possibly the quiet Patrick Reed, because he doesn't get too kind of pumped up. He does show his emotion on the golf course. You know, if he's missed a putt or if he's hit a bad shot, he'll tell you about it. So, but that's just what Tyrrell's like. You know, he's a great talent. He's a young golfer, very, very talented, got a lot of game. And I expect him to be there or thereabouts in that Ryder Cup team for sure.
Well, he's got a lot of game, but so have you, Ross Fisher. You've had a tremendous run over the last few weeks, and long may it continue. Who knows, if you win in China or you win in Turkey, or you win in South Africa, wherever you're going, you might have a pop at the top. So thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show, and we'll talk to you soon, Ross.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Well, Ross had a great week, obviously tying second, and alongside Giridesh, Afi Barnrat was very unlucky maybe not to make the playoff, and he was looking great until he doubled the 16th.
Well, I was doing my great effort to be on the top of the leaderboard for a while, and then just a bad mistake on 16, make six, one single doubles and just get the trophy away from me. Overall, still tie second, still happy with the result. Just have to congratulate Terry Hutton, that been fantastic putt the last hole.
If he'd have won, Paul, the $1.166 million would have been 36 million baht.
Would it really?
Yes, it would, which would be nice. You'd go home with that, wouldn't it?
I like watching Giridesh play. I really do.
He's natural, isn't he?
He is natural, yeah. I don't think there's been too much going on there in terms of technical support for him. He's
like a Thai Ankel Cabrera.
Yeah.
You liking that?
I do. I like that very much. And
he's getting coached, funnily enough. He's with Team Cowan.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
It's fairly new.
Right.
But a very good week for him. And he's a joy to watch. He just, you know, grips it and rips it, basically.
Yeah, he does. He plays well and he knows where the bottom of the cup is. And as I say, other than that double bogey, been a different story.
He was terrific, yeah. Top 10, please, Paul, from the Italian Open.
Okay, so the top 10 from the Italian Open. We had quite a few. Tied 10th, Mark Warren, Eddie Pepperell, Mike Lorenzo Vera, we had Miguel Angel Jimenez and Nino Battassio. They were all tied 10th. 6th, Francesco Molinari. 6th, David Horsey. Tied 6th, Tommy Fleetwood and George Coetzee. Lots of ties, Rob. In 5th was Marcus Fraser. 4th was Matt Wallace. 2nd, Ross Fisher and Giridesh Api Barnrat. And our Italian Open winner was Tyrrell Hatton.
And we had a tie in the top 3, which was, in fact, Giridesh Api Barnrat. Race to the bye tips. I went for Tommy Fleetwood, who was 6th, and Alex Levy, 26th. Ewan went for Matt Fitzpatrick, 15th. Jordan Smith, 21st. So not bad this week, but no winner. Hard to get the W. Now, in the fancy race to the bye game, Mark Nesbitt, with his team 6 of the best, took the weekly title with the team containing Ross Fisher, Tyrrell Hatton, and Giridesh Api Barnrat. How about that for a three ball? Meanwhile, overall, Jason Collier is the new leader, and his team, Cooler Kings, he has nearly 28 million points, 500,000 more than his nearest challenger. That's impressive. Meanwhile, in our Race to the Dubai Show Mini League, listener Dennis Smith registered the most points this week, with long-time leader Neil Morrison still ahead overall. How'd you do this week, Paul?
Not very well, I don't think. I went for Sergio as my captain, I think. Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
I had Tommy Fleetwood as my captain, but yeah, he finished sixth. But yeah, you really need to get the kind of winner and two of the next five to accrue the points that you need, and it didn't happen for me this week.
Or a winner as captain.
A winner as captain does help double points, yeah. So maybe better luck at the Andalucía Valderrama Masters hosted by Sergio Garcia. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch this week's event on the European Tour. Top 10, please, in the race to the bystandings, Paul. We know Fleetwood's out in front.
Yeah, in 10th place is Justin Rose. 9th is Rory McIlroy. 8th is Francesco Molinari. 7th is Alex Noren. 6th, Rafa Cabrera Bello. 5th, Tyrrell Hatton. 4th, Ross Fisher. 3rd, John Rahm. Sergio is 2nd. And as you said, Rob, Tommy Fleetwood leads the way at number 1.
Now, in other news on the Challenge Tour, Erik van Rooyen secured his European Tour status for 2018 by claiming a maiden European Challenge Tour victory at the Hainan Open. The South African began the week on the cusp of a European Tour card as he sat in 10th place in the Road to Oman rankings. But after scooping a first-place paycheck of €47,539, he's assured of a place on Europe's top tier next season. And on the PGA Tour, Pat Perez of the United States claimed the CIMB Classic at the TPC Kuala Lumpur. He finished on minus 24, four shots ahead of his compatriot Keegan Bradley. Sung Kang of South Korea and Xander Schauffele finished tied third on 17 under par. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, Paul.
Yeah, just to mention that Tyrrell Hatton, with his win again, has moved up to 17th, but the top 10 reads like this. In 10th is Brooks Koepka. 9th, Jason Day. 8th, Henrik Stenson. 7th, Ricky Fowler. 6th, Rory McIlroy. 5th, John Rahm. 4th, Justin Thomas. 3rd, Hideki Matsuyama. 2nd is Jordan Spieth. And again, at number 1, Dustin Johnson.
So this week on the European Tour, it's the Andalucía Valderrama Masters hosted by Sergio Garcia at the same venue that Beef Johnson won at last year, but not the same tournament, Paul.
Yeah, slightly confusing. I thought he would be defending this week, as a few may do, but no, different title, different tournament, so he won't be defending.
In effect, it'll be Sergio that's defending, because he won this a few years ago.
Ah, good knowledge, Rob.
I see. Amazing golf course, Valderrama. Fan or not a fan?
I am a fan, because it's not a... Well, I never thought it was a long hitter's course, and I couldn't get behind those trees that were in the middle of the fairway, so I always seem to do quite well there.
The greens are always part of the story, aren't they?
Yeah. And then if the breeze blows, particularly thinking of the 11th green that's exposed, a par 5 right on the top there, it gets tricky, but it's a fantastic course, and a course that you need a lot of patience.
You always look for the courses that single out the really long hitters, because they can carry all the trouble and cut the corners, but also you look for the courses that everyone's got a fair crack at. You think this is one of them?
I do.
Right.
I like Valderrama as a layout. I think it's a thinking man's golf course, and obviously an iron player's dream, really, isn't it?
And of course, for Sergio Garcia, who's hosting with his foundation again, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of things he's got to take care of that takes him away from concentrating solely on his own game in the week.
Yeah, very much so. But he's experienced enough to do that. He's won round there. He's played it many times. He kind of knows the golf course, so he's not going to have to, you know, learn something new. And I think he can switch on and switch off from the media stuff, no problem at all. And I would certainly have Sergio as one of my tips going forward this week.
And Seve's always synonymous with Valderrama because of the Ryder Cup back in 97.
Yeah, I mean, lots of great memories round there. Shots from behind the 17th green chipping in, and Bernard Langer long putts going in, and Monty and Langer in that playoff that never did get finished in the dark many years ago. Volvo Master, do you remember that one?
No, I do, yeah. Oh, it's incredible, yeah. Eventually, Monty and Langer, it was a tie, wasn't it?
It was a tie, yeah. Lots of history round there. Fantastic golf course.
Well, Spain's John Rahm will also be at Valderrama. He can't wait to get in front of the home crowds.
I'm extremely excited, to be honest. I really don't know what to expect. If I've had such a welcome here in Italy, I really cannot tell you what Spain's going to be like. I feel like it's going to be just an atomic bomb going off when I go to a first tee, which I'm really excited about. You know, last time I was in Valderrama, I was there for the Volvo Masters. It was 10 years ago. I mean, I have memories from 10 years ago. So, you know, hopefully this week is just as fun as that one. And my game, it's pretty close, to be honest. You know, if I can just, like I said, dial in the irons a little bit and maybe make a few putts, I think, you know, it's going to be as good as it can be.
It's his first event in Spain as a pro. That'll be special and one to remember.
Yes, it will. I mean, it's an amazing stat, that, isn't it? But obviously, he spent a lot of time in the States in his college career, and he's playing on the PGA Tour now. But it'd be great to see him, and it's fantastic that he's coming back to support as well. And it'd be interesting to see with his power game how he gets around Valderrama.
He's amazing as a player, you know. He likes to pull drive driver, quite often at holes that most of the field don't, because he backs himself with it. And of course, if he does have a good driving week, he's hitting nothing into these par fours.
Yeah, but he needs to be hitting nothing from the fairway, not from underneath the cork trees.
Well, he talked about being there in 2007, not as a player, but as a young kid with his dad. So good memories for young Rahm. And now he's there as the real deal. I think the reception he's going to get is going to be incredible in Spain.
And it will almost more than Sergio will have, because, you know, the Spanish crowd are familiar with Sergio now. John Rahm, one of theirs, back on home territory, as like you were saying, for the first time. So maybe he'll have the added media pressure.
Oh, I don't know. Sergio returning as the Masters champion to a place that he's been and frequented many, many times. It'd probably be split between the two of them. You've got to think they're both going to drag. Like Molinari last week in Milan, dragging a huge crowd around. That's going to happen around Valderrama. What about some of the other players that are taking part?
Well, it's a big week for some. We've seen some players over the last few weeks make a real run to secure cards. I'm thinking of Mark Warren, who was languishing way outside the top 100 a few weeks ago, but a second place in Portugal, then 15th at Close House, fourth in the Dunhill. So these things can turn around. He's now 51st. You know, Eddie Pepperell had six top tens in his last seven events. So, you know, it's a big week for a lot of these players who are probably on the cusp of keeping cards or just outside. Nobody really wants to go back to that tour school. And I think there'll be a lot of interest around about that cut mark and who's going to push on to possibly regain a card for the following season. So lots of good players playing. I see Martin Keimer's got a late invite, so another major champion that's in the field. Gonzalo Fernandez Castano, he's back in Spain playing. We've not seen a lot of him recently. Andy Sullivan, Ryder Cup player. Joost Louten, I always like. I think he's a wonderful iron player. He could go well this week. Mateo Manacero, he'll be in the field. Harrington, Carlson, Garcia, and of course Danny Willett. So some big names to look at this week, Rob.
Well, and that brings me to your choices.
I'm going to go Sergio. I think he's probably the premier iron player in world golf. You've got to hit your irons close to these tiny greens at Valderrama, so he would be one. And as I mentioned, a lot of guys that are struggling for cards, somebody's going to have a run this week, and I'm going for Felipe Aguilar as an outsider to have a good week, secure his playing privileges for 2018.
You know, the way Matt Wallace played tee to green last week, it would certainly suit him, but I think around Valderrama, you need experience. You need to. It's a bit like, how well do you know the golf course? I don't think you can turn up there first time, and there's so many nuances to it. I don't know. Do you think you can turn up as a kind of first-timer and do it?
Well, if he plays with the game that he had last week, he can play anywhere. Mm. Matt Wallace was exceptional tee to green last week. He really was. And you need that type of a game around Valderrama. Whether he can keep that standard for a second week running, particularly after the disappointment of not just pulling off an Italian Open last week, I don't know. But it'd be great to see. He's obviously a man in form, swinging well, plenty of confidence, but you're going to have to hold some putts, which he didn't do last week.
OK, I'm going to go for Matt Wallace, who sold it. And I'm going to go for the man who's going to try and thread his golf ball through the pine needles and the cork trees and run it up on the front edge of some of the par fours, John Rahm.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fascinating week, that's for sure, in Valderrama. That's it for now. Next week, we'll review events in Spain. And as the season heads to its conclusion, we will preview one of the biggest tournaments on the European Tour, the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Paul Eales, who's gone for?
Yeah, I've gone for Sergio and Felipe Aguilar.
And me, Robert Lee, has gone for Matt Wallace and John Rahm. It's goodbye.